You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Embarking on a new career path is undoubtedly exciting, but managing the financial aspects of a career change must also take place. Effectively controlling your finances during this period can greatly impact your overall success and your peace of mind. In our conversation with award-winning financial planner and wealth coach Tsungai Masendeke, we'll explore some practical tips and strategies to help you navigate the financial challenges of a career change. So let's dive right in. Tsungai, do I have you on the line?
You definitely have me on the line. Oh, good evening.
Hello, hello, hello. That energy. Oh, we are taking the airwaves by storm, you and I. Tonight, we are settling matters and we are doing right by our people. How are you?
Of course. I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. I'm all the happier to have you on the show. But before we jump into the serious stuff about career pivots and financial stability, I've got a little warm-up game for you, okay? It's called Finance Your Pivot. Okay. So you've got 30 seconds to explain as many financial concepts as possible. But there's a twist. You need to explain them like you're talking to someone about to change careers and keep it super simple. Think beginner friendly. Are you ready?
So let me understand the rules of engagement.
Okay.
I'm coming up with as many terms and trying to explain them in as simple a manner as possible. Is that correct?
No, I give you the term. You
oh
explain
my God.
It in the
okay,
simplest
that's
way.
A twist.
Financial award-winning financial coach, Sisi, please.
I'm ready for you.
All
I'm
right.
ready for you.
I'm putting a 30-second timer, and we are about to start. Okay.
Sure.
Wait, let me. I don't even know how timers work on my phone. Woo! Look at me. Okay. I've got it. All right. Let's begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Emergency fund.
An emergency fund is like a rainy day fund.
Uh-huh.
This is the money you use when you incur an unexpected.
Do I still have you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. I'm done.
Oh, okay. Listen to my clock going off already. I think I lost you there for a bit. But anyway, we'll take three more because I think this is very, very insightful. Okay. Income streams.
Income streams would be the different avenues of money you receive in exchange for a product or services that you render.
Ah, love this. Here's one I don't know. So you're explaining it to me. Reskilling budget.
So this is money you put aside to ensure that you keep on upgrading yourself.
I love it.
You need to keep getting better.
Uh-huh.
Version 1.1 of you, version 2.1 of
yes.
you, up to version 10.1 of yourself.
Yes, I've got another one here, financial cushion, but I don't know if it's any different to emergency fund, but I'm not the award-winning coach, you are.
So I think a financial cushion would very much be like an emergency fund, aka that rainy day fund we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. And the last one, severance package.
Ooh, so your severance package is what your previous employer would pay you if you get retrenched.
Yeah.
So a severance package normally gets paid upon retrenchment, and it's normally equivalent to, there's a calculation they use dependent on how many years of service you have had.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally 1 week's pay
yeah.
for 1 year's service. So if you work 7 years, you get 7 weeks of pay as part of your severance package.
That's already feeling unfair. But anyway, that was fun. And honestly, what I love is how effortlessly you simplified concepts that so many people find intimidating, right? Especially during seasons of uncertainty like career pivots. And this leads me perfectly to my next question. Tsungai, why this work? How does your life and what you profess on a daily basis make the world a better place?
Ooh, I'm a strong believer. Mm-hmm. You will call those things that are not as though they are, they may be.
Come on.
So it's so important that whatever you actually declare, you be careful what your declaration becomes, because whatever you speak of will actually become your reality over time. So it's so important that, you know what, if you want to be wealthy, even if there's nothing in your bank balance, you say your money is in transit, you never... Words are powerful, creative forces.
Yeah. And for the benefits of those who don't know you and what you do, please tell us who you are, how you happened upon this work, and what you do on a daily basis.
So I call myself a marketplace minister because I feel God has called me to help people create sustainable generational wealth.
Okay.
And how I do this on a daily basis is consulting with ordinary individuals like yourself and helping them think through the financial decisions they have to navigate on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
These financial decisions could range from creating a rainy day fund, putting in place funds for a child's future educational need. It could be something as simple as making sure that if you pass away tomorrow, your home will be secured and your family would not be left homeless or without shelter.
Yeah.
So on a day-to-day basis, I'm engaging with individuals to try and help them navigate the waters of financial uncertainty. I'm helping individuals create a legacy for themselves so that their loved ones never have to start where they began from.
Yeah. What's your personal connection to this work? You know, you mentioned that you refer to yourself as a workplace minister, and that sounds like purpose to me. It sounds like purposeful work. What is your connection to this? What pulled you or called you to do this work?
Oh, it's very simple. Yeah. I got a word from God, full stop and clap.
Thank you very much. We can close
and
the interview.
And I'm in obedience up until today, which is why I always say to individuals, you know, you need to understand what your own purpose is, what your own calling is, because when you understand that, it becomes a mission. You're not doing it because it always pays the bills, because sometimes it doesn't, but it becomes purposeful and becomes quite fulfilling. But what I've learned now in my own journey, and I've been 8 years now on this journey, when you are in purpose, the provision will come.
It does.
And when you are in purpose, the profit will come. So every day I'm excited to help another family, another individual, whether it's putting aside money for them to retire, or it's helping them to actually draw up a will, or helping them put in place an estate plan.
Yeah.
I'm excited because of the transformative impact the work I'm doing every day has on the normal human being.
Oh, amen. Tsungai, I'm going to ask that this interview be particularly different, and you'll understand why, right? I want to use myself as a case study because I've been reflecting on this topic, and as I was reflecting on it, it tallied really well with the lessons that I wanted to put out there. And I'm so glad that I don't have to do this alone, because you are the financial experts and you really get us together. So I'm going to share my story in bits and pieces with you, and as you would in a coaching session. Well, of course, you're not coaching me, but those practices and those disciplines, can we please use my story as an extraction tool for you to convey the message? Is that okay?
That is fine.
Fantastic. In 2023, I declared to the world that I am leaving my job because I am I'm on a mission to fulfill my purpose full time. Now, I had studied mining engineering and I knew even as I was studying that this is not the thing for me to do, right? But I did it anyway because of financial pressures at home, even social pressures. Like, no, what do you mean you want to be a psychologist? You're smart. Go and be an engineer. And that is what I did. But when I got to work, I said, no. I serve a God who's so orderly that my life cannot be disorderly. It just doesn't tally. It doesn't make sense. And so I left. But here's what I did before I left. I bought a house, right? A couple of months before leaving. And people said, you are making a mistake. This house is big. You are one girl. How are you going to pay for it? And I said, I'm just following the trend. Not a trend like everybody's doing, but I'm following the trend. This is what I believe I'm supposed to do. So I know I've bought more house than I need, but there's a reason. And the reason for me was, at some point, this house is going to make money for me, right? And so I had a vision for the money, even though I was not seeing the tangible fruit of it in the moment. Now, here's why I did that. I've always viewed money as soldiers. I train them. I position them. And I deploy them to serve a larger goal, like buying property that I said I was buying only to rent it out in the end, right? But I know many people, especially during times of career pivots, often see money as a means just to survive, something they use to get through the next paycheck if it even comes, right? Without a bigger vision for how it can serve them. In your experience, how can someone shift from seeing money as a tool for mere survival to understanding it as a key resource in building a purposeful and financially empowered future, even amid the uncertainty of a career transition?
You're such a loaded question, but I think the one word I could use to summarize that question is mindset. What I've learned is
money is more than just what you get into your account. There's actually a money mindset. And if you cannot cultivate that money mindset, money will come and it will disappear. It will come and it will disappear, which is why for me, understanding your own personal conditioning is so important, because how we manage money come from our upbringing, come from the things that we heard, the things that we saw. It comes from the things that we felt around money when it was being discussed. So it's so important to actually have a conversation with yourself about what you believe money to be for you. But because, remember, it's a mindset, it's a mentality more than anything else. If you then have that conversation with yourself and you realize that you actually have very bad views about money, or you've got bad or inappropriate ideas about money, you have to retrain your brain to see money, as you correctly said, a servant, a soldier that you can actually deploy to do good. Money is not something that ought to be struggled for or fought for or strived for. Instead of working, So shifting your mindset to allow you to enjoy the prosperity that God has promised for us, I think, is the one important thing to believe before actually you can start receiving or enjoying the fruits of your labor. And this was actually quite transformative for me because I grew up in an environment where we're conditioned, you know what, you have to work hard. You have to work like a slave to eat like a king. Times are tough, etc. But you know what? That conditioning actually impacts your own perception about money, because now you feel, at the end of the day, I have to work like a slave to eat like a king. But then you become very hesitant to then spend it. And you're not even enjoying the kingship or the queenship type of life, because now your mindset is based on scarcity and not abundance. So it's so important that we learn ourselves. We learn how we've been conditioned to see money and use it and leverage off it. And where there is insufficient knowledge, gain knowledge read books, go for seminars, consult individuals like myself so that you can actually have a better relationship with money.
You know what could be challenging, though, is that people don't know what they don't know. So I can be here not even realizing that I've got bad mentalities around money and my mindset is not the one to have. So what do you do in that situation if somebody doesn't even realize that they need to be reconditioned? And how can someone cultivate the right mindset about and around money?
So one of the things I always do in my coaching lessons is we actually do a money personality assessment.
Oh, love that.
Through coaching, we help you identify where the gaps are. Mm. The same way if you go to the doctor and you're like, you know what, I'm feeling tired.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. Mm. They'll run some tests and diagnose what it is that it could that could be the problem. Mm. We also diagnose what could be your financial problems. Mm. And then we have conversations where you come to terms in terms of those elements of your money personality that could either be drawing you back or that you can actually utilize as strengths to make you a better person. Mm. So it's important that you consult a professional like myself because then we can help you become aware of the things that you weren't even aware of.
Yeah.
But not only making you aware of them, but we also equip you, give you the tools and the resources that you need to then become more aware of those shortcomings and also. Tools that will help recondition your mind to make sure that you start winning financially.
Oh, I love that. So we've set the foundation. The foundation is the right mentality around money. And this is before we've even spoken about any career pivots. You're already sending yourself down the failure pipe if you don't even have the correct mindset around money. Okay, let's come back to the case study, me. So I leave my job and you know what I did? I didn't do anything different to what I was doing. So I continued to live as though my financial circumstances haven't changed, as if I'm continuing to make this monthly income every month. And that wasn't the case, right? I noticed at times, and here's the thing that I've noticed about myself. I tend to view life through a rose-tinted lens. I make decisions based on what I hope the future will look like rather than facing the reality of what's actually happening in the present. And this tendency to lean more towards aspirational thinking has, in all honesty, led me to make some missteps along the way. So I'd love for you to give us counsel on how to navigate the tension between an aspirational vision, something that somebody has in their mind when actually pursuing this career pivot, and practical realities of our current financial situation. How do we balance the hope for a better future with the need to make strategic, grounded decisions today? Because I didn't make that adjustment. And looking back, I wish I had.
And I think you may make such a powerful point. And I find that a lot of people get into trouble financially because of that disjoint between reality and their aspirations. Mm. Believe me, I am probably one of the biggest dreamers you will find out there.
In the very first minute of the interview, you were just like, things that aren't as if they were. So we know.
So I'm a big dreamer.
Yeah.
And I've got big visions.
Yeah.
But I also have learned you need to have smart goals.
Mm.
Okay. And by smart goals, we talk about putting in place a specific plan to make sure that they are achievable.
Yeah.
Making that plan measurable.
Mm-hmm.
Articulating how it becomes attainable.
Mm-hmm.
Ensuring that it is realistic and making sure that you have got a time frame that is realistic to ensure that the dream becomes a reality.
Yeah.
A marathon a kilometer at a time. So we're not saying that you're not going to have your elephant.
Yeah.
You will, but you need to cut it into small pieces so that you can digest it, you can bite, you can chew, and you don't end up being constipated or even choking on this big elephant that you're eating. So for me, it's having that big goal and then creating an action plan that you then execute and reviewing it on an ongoing basis to make sure that that dream becomes a reality.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you have this big dream but you don't have a plan, guess what? It just stays a dream.
Honestly.
And that dream could actually end up suffocating you,
yes,
because there wasn't an executable plan to,
yes,
make sure that it becomes a reality.
100%.
So it's important that even when you're navigating a career shift, speak to a financial professional like myself, a certified financial planner, because what we do sometimes is bring that accountability.
Yeah.
We bring in a different perspective. Yes, you, etc. But how do we make it realistic? How do we make the pivot sustainable? Because I think that's something a lot of people miss,
100%.
The sustainability of their,
yes,
short-term actions.
Yes.
So yes, it's nice, you can pivot now, but do you have a plan in place to sustain the pivot over the 5-year term, 10-year period? Otherwise, you'll find yourself going back to mining engineering because now you need to survive. But if you've sat with a professional like myself, you make us aware of your goal. We then put in place a plan to make sure that the transition, the financial transition, is actually sustainable over a long period of time.
Tsungai, from your experience, do you think our lack of making these adjustments could be tied to our worth or how we feel those certain things we can't let go of or make adjustments of, or even if we need to downscale? Do you think it's tied to our worth? Because I can tell you, I can confess to you that the thing with me was that I was just like, no, I made an announcement to the world. I have to fulfill this thing, whatever it looks like, and I'll maintain my life the way I need to maintain it, the way I knew it, because what do you mean? Is your purpose failing? So what do you think it is? Why is it that we struggle to make these adjustments?
Oh, so there are a couple of things I can think of.
Yeah.
The first one is pride.
Ooh.
You're proud you had this lifestyle.
Ooh.
Now to let go of it, like, what would the Kardashians think?
Ooh.
What would the Kunenias think about me? Which takes me to the second thing, which is our social perspective. How do people see us, and how do we think people perceive us?
Oh,
so we've got a certain lens in which we perceive ourselves and in which we think society perceives us. And so we want to conform,
yes,
to that perception.
Yes.
And then thirdly, I think it also comes down to wisdom and understanding. Okay? Because if you have wisdom and if you have understanding, all right, even though you may go through a short-term, uncomfortable downscaling of life,
yeah,
it's just knowing that it's temporary.
Oof.
And I have this conversation with individuals that have been retrenched, individuals that have had salary pay cuts, or individuals that have left their jobs for one reason or another, that sometimes, or even indebted individuals, that's the other category, where I'm like, you know what, when we say have a change in lifestyle, we're not saying you're going to have this lifestyle for eternity.
Yes.
No, it's just so that we can fix the financial gap,
yeah,
that's been created in the short term.
Yeah.
And people have, because of, you know, the instant gratification era that we're in, it's difficult for people to think of delayed gratification,
yeah,
and the rewards thereof.
Yeah.
I'm delaying this short-term gratification because I'm going to fix my credit score. I am delaying the process of enjoying this money now because it will mean that 15 years from now, I'll be able to pay for my daughter's varsity fees for cash. So just having that long-term perspective also helps people make better financial decisions,
yeah,
because all of a sudden we're saying, no, you're not giving up this forever. It's just for the short term whilst you fix the financial gaps that have been identified. But if you cannot swallow your pride,
oh,
if you still want to be perceived by society in,
yeah,
a certain way,
yeah,
if you lack the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding that it's only for the short term that these adjustments have to be made, what you're doing inevitably is digging a deep hole that you can't return from. And the unfortunate thing is the people that matter, don't care.
Yeah.
And the people that actually care don't matter. These same people you are trying to hold up a perception with are the ones that are going to have the hardest laugh after you actually get your home gets repossessed, your car gets repossessed, etc. So make decisions, not because you intend to please other people, but because you know it's good for you in the long run.
And people have their own problems and their own lives. They really couldn't be bothered with what you're doing. Well, at least that those are serious people. I'm not talking about the gossip mongers and all of those people. Speaking of digging yourself into a deeper hole, we're going back to the case study. Tsungai, I started watching.
I'm listening.
I started watching my phone ring. You hear me? I started watching it ring. Not picking it up because I can see, oh, it's the bank. Oh, no. What are they going to say? What do they want from me now? Oh, and then service providers. Then I listened to the voicemail. You missed your payment. And I was just like, oh, no. Oh, no. It's all crumbling right before my eyes. You know what I realize now looking back? I missed out on opportunities to restructure my debt simply because I didn't view the bank as a financial partner. I saw them as just another creditor. But the truth is, well, I learned because afterwards I was just like, get your act together, talk to the bank, let them know what's happening. Financial institutions can play a major role in wealth building, especially when navigating a career transition, right? So I really want to hear your perspective and your expertise. How can we as professionals reprogram our thinking to see banks as partners on our financial journey rather than adversaries, because we ignore them to our detriment, right? What are some underutilized strategies people can leverage with their banks during their career periods? And from your experience as well, what other financial mistakes?
Answered your own question.
What other financial mistakes other than ignoring the calls have you seen professionals make during the period of these career transitions and these career shifts?
So to begin with, in terms of your first question, I think you made such a brilliant point that you have to reprogram your mind that the bank is a partner and not an adversary. And it comes back to the point we mentioned earlier on about mindset. The bank is interested in you paying your monthly bond or your motor vehicle repayment or your credit card repayment. Because you are an asset to them. You are an asset to them. Okay. So they do want you to be paying. And when you're not paying, it's not good for them. It's not good for their business. So they actually want to hear from you when you are not paying. Because when you then become silent, they become fearful. They become afraid that you are now breaking the relationship or the trust that they gave you in this commitment for 20 years or this commitment for 6 years if it's a motor vehicle loan. So communication in any relationship is key. If you are in a relationship with a physical person and things are not going well for you, you don't keep quiet and hope that they are prophetic and they will tell you, they will come and say, oh, I see that you're having financial problems. No, you go to them and you tell them, I'm having financial problems. Can we renegotiate the terms of this particular loan? And they would rather keep you as a client than lose you or have you written off as a bad debt. So in terms of recourse, I always say if you've seen that for 3 months, you've been struggling with your repayments, rather contact the bank and initiate the conversation about restructuring your debt. Don't wait for them to contact you and find out how far, what's happening. So be proactive. When you do have the opportunity to renegotiate the terms of your loan, there are a couple of things you can actually look at. You can look at lengthening the period of the loan. So instead of it being a 60-month credit personal loan facility, they can drag it out to maybe 72 months. Yep. Obviously, you're going to pay more interest, but it gives you the short-term reprieve you need in terms of those monthly repayments. Alternatively, they can lower the interest you're paying on a monthly basis to make it a little bit more affordable for you to pay.
Yeah.
Another thing that the bank can also do is to just outrightly reduce the monthly repayment you are liable for.
Oh, wow.
So negotiate. Some banks will even give you a premium payment holiday, maybe for a month or two whilst you're looking for your next gig.
Yeah.
But it's important, like I said, to communicate and be the one to proactively seek a new arrangement. If you find that now you're really, really, really at your wit's end, you're really suffocating in debt, don't be afraid to actually go for debt counseling. During debt counseling, the good thing is your entire debt portfolio is restructured, but it also means that during that period, your assets can commit to paying 3,000 rand a month, and you continue paying that 3,000 rand a month for the 5-year period that you're under debt counseling or debt review. Guess what? You get to keep your house, you get to keep your car, you get to keep your assets during that time where you are under debt review.
Yeah.
So please don't see some of these mechanisms as, oh, this is so harsh. No, it's like rehab.
Yeah.
If you are a drug addict, you go for rehab so that you can try and change the behavior that led you there. Debt review, debt counseling is like rehab. During that 5-year period, you won't be allowed to take on new debt. But guess what? It gives you the opportunity to reconfigure your mentality around debt whilst still keeping your assets from being repossessed.
Oh, I love that so much. You know, what I'm loving about how you're unpacking it and the discussion we're having is that for a lot of people, they don't make these career pivots or these career transitions because of financial considerations, right? So they fear that they may not be able to upkeep their lives or even meet the obligations. But the way you're talking to us now and making us realize our partners in the transition, and in this case, we're talking about financial partners. They are coaches who are career partners or professional partners. There's so many people that you can put in your board or your committee to help you through this transition. So it's not as scary as we think it is before we get the information that you are now giving us. And I absolutely love that you are reframing our minds just in simplifying or in making career pivots less scarier than they are. I'd like to hear from you. What other financial mistakes have you seen professionals make other than running away from the bank until the bank chases them?
I think another key thing we've observed in the South African market is people are generally consumers. They're not savers.
Yeah.
They're spenders. They're not savers.
Yeah.
Coming back to that instant gratification. So a lot of people are indebted, or rather over indebted, and it's causing a lot of financial strain. Okay. And that's one thing I would say, don't borrow from Peter to pay for Paul. If you find that you are in financial distress, again, back to basics, go back to the financial institutions and work out a new plan, negotiate a new repayment plan, because it doesn't help to keep on getting more and more debt. Because what people don't realize is your first personal loan might have an interest rate of 23%. The next one is going to be at 25%. The next one will probably be at 27.5%. So the rates and the terms keep getting worse the more debt you keep getting. So you're actually not doing yourself a disservice by continuously taking on debt to try and pay off existing debt. Another thing I would say is live within your means.
Sure.
Don't try to please the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Don't try to please the Kunenes.
Yeah.
Live within your means. If your neighbors are all taking their kids to St. Stithians or to St. Edward's or to St. Peter's, it's okay. It's their portion.
Yeah.
Don't feel the pressure to now want to compete with those individuals, because you don't know what they're bank balance looks like. Mm-hmm. You don't know how much income they're making. You don't know how many streams of income they have that's helping to fund that specific academic institution. Yeah. Because what ends up happening is, as we grow older in our careers, there are certain... Now you have to drive Jaguar. Now, because you're a CEO, because you need to be at this stage having these things associated with you.
Yeah.
You're not, because that tends to get people into trouble. Mm. So people end up putting themselves in financially distressful positions because they were trying to be who they're not. So I'll just say, go back to basics, live within your means. So for example, when you did the financial transition, again, have a conversation with yourself. Mm. How much income do I have access to? Mm. How do I make sure that I'm living within my means?
Yeah.
And up until the point where you can actually replicate the income you had in your previous role, live within your means.
Mm. And I want us to now touch on the final part of my case study, all right? So I remember, because now the pressure was mounting, the debt was mounting. Yeah, there'd be income here and there because it's not like I was just sitting and doing nothing, but it wasn't as sustainable as I would have loved for it to be. And as I was so stressed, it was stressing me. I was losing weight. It was just a mess. It affected so many other things, my relationships, my mental health. It was really bad. And my niece said to me, "Ngane, do you remember what you said when you bought this house?" And I said, "Yeah, what did I say?" And she said to me, "You said you're not buying this house to live here forever. You're buying too much house than you need because you want a family to stay in this house. I think it's time for the family to move in." You know, I sat there and I thought, this was the plan altogether. I don't know why I veered off course. I don't know why I was holding on for longer than I should have. And you know what I did? I rented my home out to a family that is helping in paying the bond. And the freedom and the peace, it is indescribable. It is out of this world. And right now, I'd love for you to speak to somebody who's contemplating a career transition or is in a career transition, and they're listening, but they're not even paying much attention to what is being said. I want you to speak to them about what could potentially go wrong if they don't make the adjustments that they have to make, and what doing the right thing can mean and do for them financially and professionally.
So if you don't make the adjustments that are required to ensure a sustainable financial transition, you will suffer financially, unfortunately. So if you make a career transition from, say, for example, being an engineer where you're earning 40,000 rand a month, and you decide you want to become a teacher and you're not earning 20,000 rand a month, you must find certain things in your expenses that you cut out so that you make up for that 20,000 rand difference.
Mm.
Okay. That adjustment is so important for life. It's probably an adjustment up until you find alternatives.
Mm.
The same level of income that you were earning as an engineer as your tenure increases in that new profession.
Yeah.
So being in a position to actually have an honest conversation about what you can afford in the short term, what you can afford 3 years from now, what you can afford 5 years from now is important, and making that financial adjustment.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important to have, like I said, accountability partners. Mm-hmm. Reach out to a financial professional like myself, because what we can help you to do is put in place a plan that ensures that that transition is sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done with some clients even is they tell me, "You know what, I'm giving myself 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do now in order for me to be able to afford that financial transition?"
Yeah.
So we start putting in place measures. We start downscaling the lifestyle now, because I think it's also a bit traumatic to just say to a person, "No, stop eating this or stop going to these places immediately."
Yeah.
But if you give yourself a runway to make those changes, it becomes more palatable. So we actually put in place a plan to say, these are the things that you need to start doing in the first 3 months.
Mm.
In the next 6 months, do this. start saving this much now. In 6 months, we need to make sure that your emergency fund is at this is at this amount, so that by the time you now move out 24 months, it's not as stressful, it's not as strenuous as it would have been if you did not have a plan.
Yeah.
I'll go back to this important quote: proper planning prevents poor, pathetic performance. So if you can give yourself the time required to plan and enough time to execute on the plan, i.e. strategy, then you will realize that you can accomplish what it is you set your mind and heart to.
I love this so much. Now, we've been looking at this case study from my point of view, right? I'm interested, as we're wrapping up, to find out what are some things that you picked up from the case study that you believe are important to highlight and will land a strong message with our listeners.
Don't stop dreaming big.
Yay!
But have a plan for your big dreams.
Okay. That's grounded very quickly.
Obviously, like I mentioned earlier on, your mindset also is important because it will help you afford the transition.
Yeah.
It will help you with the transition so that it's actually as stress-free as it possibly can be.
Yeah.
Yes, you're going to have curveballs, but if you ensure that you've planned properly, you will be successful. Put in place the right kind of systems for yourself, i.e. having an accountability partner or a certified financial planner to help. But have a good, solid structure as well that can have honest conversations with you so that at the end of the day you know that you're doing the right things. I mean, the nephew or the niece of yours was phenomenal because all she just did was helped you rethink the problem, rethink the situation, and through that rethinking you actually came up with the solution that helped you with the financial transition.
Tsengai, this has been such a powerful conversation. And I know my listeners will walk away with a fresh perspective on how to navigate their career pivots financially. From treating money as soldiers to rethinking how we engage with financial partners like banks and financial advisors, you've truly given us some game-changing strategies for making smarter, because you did say our goals have to be smart, more intentional choices during times of transition. And, you know, reflecting on my own journey, I see how many or all the many steps I've taken, whether it was choosing to downscale sooner or not choosing to downscale sooner, or learning to leverage the resources available to me. That would have been so much smoother if I had approached them from a place of financial wisdom like you've shared today. And I really hope this conversation inspires anyone listening who is in the midst of their own career pivot or contemplating one, that your story is still being written. If you're still alive, you've still got those dreams, you cannot afford to give up. Your story is still being written. And Tsengai, if there's somebody who's saying, you know what, I've made mistakes, I am contemplating a move and I really need the right people in my corner, I know you are one such person. So how do people reach out to you? Where do we contact you? What are your services that we can tap into?
Okay, so we offer holistic financial planning.
Love it.
And to contact me, people can dial my number 073-519-2358. The number again, 073-519-2358. Or they can reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's at Tsengai Masendeke.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your time. You know, I hadn't thought that I would share this story ever or on a public platform like this. But I think unpacking it with you in this way had more value than me just sharing it with pockets of people here and there. I think your insights and your wisdom on this matter enriched it so much. And I hope that my mistakes and my journey really allows or affords somebody the opportunity to not fall into the same traps and into making the same mistakes. So thank you so, so much for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. I really appreciate having you here.
And thank you for your vulnerability. Together, we'll make others even more financially successful.
100%. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Guys, if today's conversation sparked something in you, whether it was a new financial insight or a fresh perspective on your career pivot, I want to invite you to take immediate action. Right now, take one step that moves you forward, whatever that looks like for you, whether it's reviewing your budget, speaking with your bank, reaching out to Tsungai or any other financial planner, or simply creating a plan to downscale when necessary. Start where you are. I also encourage you to reach out to me if you'd like to do that. I'm Pumike Mbonani on LinkedIn. If you're feeling stuck or unsure about how to begin making these financial adjustments for your own career pivots, chat to the right people. I'm not a financial planner, but I am a purpose alignment strategist. And if you want to see which way to go, I am more than happy to help you with that. You don't have to navigate this alone, okay? And I'm here to help you. There are right structures. The bank is your partner. There's just so much help out there. There are YouTube videos. There's just so much that you can do and so many places that you can go, just so this is not an isolated journey and you don't make the same mistakes that I did. Because I've learned from those mistakes, I'm not repeating them. I'm on a financial trajectory. I'm doing things better. I have restructured my business model. I am doing so many things that really are meaningful to me. I haven't had to sacrifice or compromise my purpose in order to start over doing what I love to do and have to do. And you don't have to fall into any trap as well. In fact, I've written a book, but just talk to me on LinkedIn. That will really help you with your career pivot. Okay. It's free. So if you're thinking, no, it's free. Just reach out to me and we will talk. If career pivots were a one-time event, a lot of us would have been disqualified from a race for having made so many mistakes. But because it's a journey, it means we can still go on and make our way to the desired destination. You're not out of the race yet. So if you're listening to this and it sparked something inside of you, you're not out, you're not disqualified from the race. Get up. Let's go. Take your first step and trust that the foundation you're building will carry you through the journey. I really look forward to hearing about the action you take and being part of your growth. Okay? I hope you're feeling good. I hope you're feeling encouraged. I hope you're feeling more confident about your move and knowing that there are so many resources for you. You don't have to drown like I was drowning. You don't have to lose the plot like I was losing the plot. All in the name of pursuing your dreams and your visions.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.